ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
When you talk about healthcare, some people think doctors and nurses. But working alongside them are a host of other professionals providing an enormous range of health-related services. At UWM, those allied professions are taught in the College of Health Sciences. With more than 2,000 students, it offers the largest number of health-related degree programs of any college or university in the state of Wisconsin. And today, as part of our year-long celebration of UWM's 60th anniversary, we focus on the College of Health Sciences. Joining us in the studio are the Dean of the College, Ron Sisler, and Ann Swartz, who is a professor and chair of the kinesiology department. Welcome to both of you. And Ron, we're going to begin with you. More degree programs in this field than anybody else. Give us a flavor for what you can study at UWM's College of Health Sciences.
Sure. We have quite the breadth. Actually, when you think of from the bench to the bedside to the curbside or the community, we offer programs from biomedical sciences and clinical lab sciences to more on the bedside, that would be occupational sciences, physical therapy, occupational therapy, as well as communication sciences and disorders, including speech and language pathology and audiology. And then kinesiology, which is human movement, performance, but also the exercise science and nutrition. More toward the administration, we offer programs in health informatics and administration for hospital administration or hospital administrators. So we really have a wide breadth of the types of programs that normally aren't thought of when you think of healthcare, but we're really representing from the bench, again, bedside, and also in the community.
Yeah, you use the word bench. You really do have a deep, deep bench when it comes to providing the talent that provides these services to people throughout the state.
Sure. Any blood work that you get, it goes to a laboratory for analysis and for making sure that we're all healthy or for screening diagnostic issues. So, we provide that. It's kind of behind the scenes, but it's there. It's present, and we have great professionals in our community.
Well, and one of the professionals is with us. Ann Swartz is a professor, and you indeed are the chair of kinesiology, a department that Ron mentioned. Talk a bit about the work that you do and the services that you bring to the community.
Well, in our department, we have two programs, kinesiology and nutrition. And so we really have the science that moves us and the science that fuels us within our department. And so a lot of what we do is we do work within the community. We do also have work individuals who work within hospitals and clinics and things like that, really focusing on helping to maintain individuals' health and improve their health through movement and through what they eat.
So would physical therapy, for example, fall into this field, or are they separate?
So many of our undergraduate students are interested in becoming physical therapists. And physical therapy is a program within our college. It's a doctoral level program. But a lot of our undergrads do choose to go into physical therapy.
You mentioned the connection between what we eat and how we move. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit. You're not going to be around long if you don't eat, but perhaps what you eat makes a big difference.
Right. Well, what you eat makes a big difference for people who are healthy and people who are unhealthy and for people who are athletes. Anytime you can improve your nutrition, you're going to be able to improve your health or improve your performance or maybe improve your blood pressure just a little bit or maybe improve your blood cholesterol a little bit. And so what you consume really does have an impact on your quality of life and your ability to do your activities of daily living. And then for those who are athletes, it can really make a difference in whether you finish that marathon in 4 hours or 3 hours and 50 minutes.
So willpower isn't enough.
That's very important as well.
Ron, as you think about how the college has evolved over the years, there was a day where UWM didn't have this enormous number of offerings. How did you get to be the biggest educator of people in the health science field?
Well, just as UWM is celebrating its 60th anniversary, we just celebrated our 40th. So we've been around two-thirds of the time that UWM has been there. We started with 300 students, I think, and we have sevenfold that now, over 2,100 students. We also have not only back then was more bachelor's degrees, and now the master's and even the doctorate sometimes is the new bachelor's. So we have 350 graduate students in our master's and our doctoral programs, and we're very proud of that. And so our programs are advancing as careers advance in the requirement for education and expertise, really, in providing these services. So we're real proud of that. Our research has grown, too. We're up to about $3.4, $3.5 million in research spending annually. We have a great breadth of the research that we do. In fact, we believe strongly in evidence-based practice, and what we learn with our research we can bring to the field. And again, the field is not only the bedside, but it's also to community, to people within their homes and staying in their homes. And our occupational sciences therapies are also part of not how people work only, but how people occupy their time. What's important in their life? Who are the people? What are the activities in their life? And like Ann alluded to, if you're overweight or obese, it can limit the things that you enjoy doing in your life, and maybe being with family members and children. And so those limitations are something that we'd like to prevent and actually work with folks to overcome.
One of the things that surprised me and perhaps would surprise our listeners is the great number of programs that now almost require a PhD. If you're meeting with a therapist, for example, trying to get back into shape, it is not uncommon that you're talking to someone who has a PhD.
Yeah, a PhD and that would be more around the academic side and the research, which is highly important, but a practice doctorate as well. So the DPT, the doctor in physical therapy, would be doctorally trained, but in that practice of physical therapy. But in the Department of Kinesiology, we have a PhD in kinesiology for those researchers who are really looking at the muscle, the types of issues that we might have either in performance or as we age, and how to overcome some of those limitations and disabilities sometimes.
So, and talk about some of the research that that is being done in the college.
Yeah, we've got a lot of exciting things that are going on within our department, and then as well throughout the college. So, for instance, one of the really unique studies that we have ongoing is we have a collaboration with a local elementary school where we're conducting an intervention, and we've replaced sitting desks with standing desks. And we're looking at whether or not these standing desks are going to help increase activity levels at school, whether they're going to help with time on task for these children. So are they able to focus a little bit better? And whether they're able to help the children learn a little bit better. So we're working in collaboration with some of our colleagues in psychology. And it's been a really neat collaboration. The kids are really enjoying the standing desks. The teachers also really enjoy the standing desks, and the school has been wonderful in engaging with us and allowing us to come in and do the assessments that we need to do. So it's been a great learning experience for the kids at the school, for the teachers at the school, for our students who are going in and doing the assessments.
What's the age of the children?
So the children are third and fourth graders and sixth graders. And so they're elementary school kids, and it's a lot of fun.
That's really remarkable, because most of the time when I think of standing desks, I'm thinking of hipsters who are standing there with a headset on, working on their computer. But I didn't know that you're experimenting with this with kids that young.
Well, and there's, as you know, standing desks have become very popular, and you see them quite often in office settings with adults, but we don't see them as often in schools, and there just really isn't the research support to tell us whether these are actually beneficial for our children. So that's what we're partnering with this elementary school to be able to do.
Well, and I'd like to add to that because in a way you're talking also about the fact that we as individuals and examples of this, how we can actually be more active in all that we do. And we don't have to think of just obesity, or we don't have to think of a chronic health condition like a, you know, a knee problem or a hip problem. But we can instill or incorporate some of our healthy behaviors even as young as third and fourth grade and in our schools. And what a great model for that type of lifestyle throughout people's lives and to carry that through. So I think it's a good – it's a wonderful research project. And we actually got independent funding donation for the desk from a partner.
Safe-Curl. Yeah. So the individuals who make the desks donated 90 desks and stools for these for this elementary school. So it was a very generous donation, and we appreciate it greatly.
Is it too early to give us a sneak peek at what you're finding, or is that down the road a bit?
That's down the road a little bit. We are halfway through.
She's a good
through.
Researcher. She's not jumping to conclusions.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's a really, you know, great discipline right. on your part, but curious people like me are
right.
trying to cut to the chase.
Right. Well, we're about halfway through the study because it's a year-long study, so we're looking at their academic year. Because we do know that seasons change activity levels, so we need to assess this throughout the entire year to make sure that the results that we find are really robust. So,
what a great idea to try to break the conventional thinking that if a child goes to grade school, they have to sit.
Yeah.
Right.
But yet right. they're not sitting and it's, sometimes not having the most fun when they are sitting.
Right.
So why not get them on their 2 feet?
Right. And there's some really great teachers and administrators at the school that are very forward thinking and were willing to open up and allow this newer idea to come into their school. So,
Ron, one of the areas I wanted to talk to you about is the way in which you work with other healthcare organizations around the area. And one, I think, good example is your Center for Urban Population Health.
Yes.
I know that you've been involved in that. Describe for our listeners how you collaborate with other professionals in the community.
Sure. And predominantly it's around research. The Center for Urban Population Health has been around for about 15 years. It's an institutional collaboration, which are rare, with UW-Milwaukee, of course, but also with UW School of Medicine and Public Health out of Madison and Aurora Healthcare. And they've been a longstanding partner Aurora has in newer ways of approaching something we call population health. Population health is not necessarily the number of people who are born in a certain area or whatever, but it's more on what are the health concerns and health priorities of a community, and how does healthcare interface with community health? It's really that intersection. And it's kind of the space that we work in with our college. We, again, along that continuum of people who have chronic health conditions, and we want to have some impact earlier on. And that's where we do most of our work. So that's been a very fruitive relationship for about 15 years.
And the fact that you're working in the city of Milwaukee,
yes.
the university obviously has the city of Milwaukee's the name in the university's name, that's part of the unique mission of an urban research university.
Yes, we have so many community engagements. Hard to even put a number on it. Our students serve in the community in things that, like Ann was talking about, in our research programs, but also in placements, field placements, internships, service learning opportunities in the community across our great region, actually, and state. We work with places like Curative and Medical College Wisconsin, Frederick, Ascension, across the board. I didn't want to leave anybody out, but we really have a presence pretty much in the health systems and community health centers as well.
I know a lot of us don't want to admit to it, but we are getting older, and that means changes in the way in which we act and move and perhaps think. Your Center for Aging and Translational Research. Talk a bit about that.
Well, the center is doing many, many wonderful things. It really focuses not only on just research, but it's also got an educational component and then a community service component to it as well. And there's a lot of really great research, very interdisciplinary research that's coming out of there. So people from kinesiology will be working with people from social work or people from communications in order to get our research projects going. So that's really exciting. But then they also have some very creative classes that they're offering to undergraduate students. There was one this past semester where they had students go to St. John's on the Lake and learn from individuals who are going through the process of aging and hear their firsthand story of what it's like to get older, which was really powerful for the students, and the students really enjoyed it. So there's a lot of really unique things that are happening through the Center on Aging that are impacting our research and our education and our community.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio, two representatives of the university's College of Health Sciences. Ron Sisler is the dean, and Ann Swartz is chair of the kinesiology department and a professor at the school. This is part of, by the way, our year-long look at all of the different great academic programs at UWM as the university celebrates its 60th anniversary of serving people both here in Milwaukee and really throughout the state and far beyond. Ron, as you think about the types of students who are drawn into your program, you have 2,000 students. Mm-hmm. I understand that if you had more room, you could have even more students in these programs.
Yes, you're hitting on something where oftentimes the limits in our capacity are more due to field placement opportunities and a kind of a shortage of good field placement opportunities for our students, because not only do they learn in the classroom, but then they invariably get some hands-on experience in the field, in healthcare and community health settings. And so I don't want to say we turn away students. We're a very accessible university. But we have limits on how many students we can handle. The fields.
That's a good problem to have, by the way.
Oh, that's a really good problem to have in our times. Our fields, many of the disciplines that I talked about earlier, they're at like a 16 to 17% growth rate opportunity over the next 10 years, whereas the average is about 7%. So many of the healthcare fields, predominantly due to our aging society.
So retirements, people who are in the profession now but will be leaving?
Will be leaving, and then helping people who are also aging. Because some of our disciplines do work with people who need the physical and occupational therapy and speech and language pathology. So that's all coming together for a need and a shortage probably in the next 5 years in these areas. Yet we have some capacity limits at our university on how much we can take. There's other competitors coming as well, understanding this market opportunity. I think we do a good job, and we're selective, yet we're accessible as university goes. We have a lot of first-generation students. We have a lot of diverse populations of students, and we're very proud of 25 to 26% racial and ethnic minority and international students. And we'd love to grow that. But there are some capacity limits to what we can do.
And that diversity is important, not just because it creates a healthier environment in the university, but those young students will go out into the community and in the not-too-distant future be working in a diverse
Absolutely.
Community, right?
Absolutely. And we strongly believe that our health professions of the future need to reflect the communities they're serving. Absolutely.
And I asked you earlier for a little more definition on kinesiology, but you also talked about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you're learning today that we didn't know before about the foods that we eat and how it impacts movement of the human body.
Well, we've got a number of faculty within the department who really look at issues related to food and culture, and then as well food and body image issues. And so they've been doing quite a bit of work with The Biggest Loser and looking at how The Biggest Loser, that television show, will really treat their contestants and the advice that they give their contestants and whether those are healthy choices or not healthy choices. Whenever you make any change, whether it's an exercise change or a nutrition change, you want to make sure that it's a change that you can sustain. and not just do for a short period of time. And so they've looked at issues related to that. Some of our other nutrition faculty are out in the community, and they're helping to educate. For instance, Susie Kundrat just worked with the Shorewood Swim Club and worked with some of the girls in the Shorewood Swim Club to help them understand how nutrition can impact their performance, especially since some of these girls are as young as sixth grade, and then they go through the middle school. So they're at a period in their life where things are changing quite rapidly, and so helping them to understand how nutrition plays a role for those for their performance and their daily lives.
And they're living at a time with huge peer pressure about mm-hmm. what you eat or what you don't eat.
Right, and those things were addressed as well. It was Susie said it was a great conversation that they had. So.
In an age where so many of us, if we have a question, go to the internet and get to Google and start typing it in, what assurances do we have that information, in this case, thinking about nutrition, is the right stuff to know? How does a consumer sort that out, and how would a nutritionist, someone that you're training, be a factor in maybe better decision making?
I think that's a great topic of conversation. You know, there is so much out there on the internet, and anybody can put anything out there. And so figuring out how you find those credible sources is really important, not only for the students that we're training, but for people in their daily lives. They want to make sure that what they're reading is actually credible. And so we always guide our students to look for any organizations that are related to the professions. So the American Dietetics Association, they have some wonderful information on their websites that they'll be able to provide good guidelines on better choices for eating and behavior change and things such as that. In terms of exercise, the American College of Sports Medicine is a great resource. They have all kinds of one-page handouts that they can you can learn about, you know, whether it's high-intensity interval training or whether you just want to learn a little bit more about wearable technology. There's a lot of information that you can find on those websites. But looking for the sources that are associated with a professional organization really is a great place to start. And then you can use the links through those pages to help you find some other credible sources.
So don't go and trust my cousin Tom's
webpage. Especially over Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't know your cousin Tom, so.
One thing I'd like to bring up is our investment as a college and department in our hub, which mm-hmm. is our food and nutrition and exercise kitchens. And mm-hmm. I'd like for Ann to maybe describe that a little bit, because we are expanding that. It's pretty exciting, and we're doing that right now, actually.
Yeah, so our hub is a student learning laboratory. It's where our students go to learn how to become an exercise professional, how to become a nutrition professional. So they get experience, whether it's working one-on-one with an individual or teaching group exercise classes or doing food demonstrations. They get that experience. And we open it up to the faculty and staff and the community around Milwaukee and invite them to come in and use the services that we offer. So our students are getting the practice of working on people who are in the community, while the people in the community are getting the benefit of learning the information from our students. And so we found quite a bit of success with this initiative. And so with the support of our college, we've been able to expand, and we're expanding our teaching kitchen from a demonstration kitchen to an actual teaching kitchen. So we'll have four workstations where students can do what maybe it's bake a cake, maybe it's, you know, make some hummus, whatever it happens to be. And then there'll also be a demonstration station where the teacher can instruct. So we're really excited about this, because we think it can open up a lot of opportunities in terms of more community engagement, more demonstrations on, you know, how to cook certain foods, whether it's, you know, this time of year, it might be baking Christmas cookies and new Christmas cookie recipes. So we're really excited about that. And then as well with the exercise portion of it, we've been able to expand. So now we can have multiple programs going on at the same time. But we are trying very hard not to limit ourselves to those spaces. And so we're going out beyond those spaces, and we go to different departments on campus, and we'll do in services on maybe stretches that you want to do during the workday if you sit at your desk all day, and things like that to help provide our students with experiences and then help to make our community a healthier place.
Ron, just a few minutes left, and sure. I want to ask this question as you take a look at the next 60 years. This, again, is part of our anniversary program. Where do you see College of Health Sciences going? Are there new horizons that you've not tapped into yet?
Well, and we're always working on something. And right now, in our fields, we're looking at the interprofessional education, research, and practice of not only our very diverse professions, but how does that work with medicine and nursing and public health, for example. So nationally, that's a push because we, again, can't think of just parochially or only one slice of a person's life cycle. We have to think about, cradle to grave, in a sense, of addressing problems, issues, but also preventing problems and issues along the way. So that interprofessional training, education, research is one actually very big one. And to do that effectively, we think we need facilities that would be amenable to having people work together and interfacing as they're learning, as they're conducting research, and as they're seeing patients. So, and community residents. So we're very excited about that whole area of development in our Milwaukee community.
Breaking down some of those silos.
Yes.
And in terms of students, we've talked a lot, I think, about that undergraduate population. But at any point in a person's career, there are opportunities in the health sciences.
Yeah, absolutely. And we train the wide range. We even have bachelor's certificates. So if you're in one other discipline, let's say business, you can get a certificate in another health profession or apply it to a health profession, all the way up to the doctoral training. And maybe not today, but in other sessions of this, we are a Research One institution now, and we're top 115 in the country of 4,600 universities. So, and we're part of that in our College of Health Sciences for doctoral training.
What a difference it makes to be surrounded by colleagues who are operating at the very highest level. That bodes well for the future of your profession. Ron and Ann, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but a wonderful way to provide a good snapshot, a profile of one of the very important schools and colleges at UWM, the College of Health Sciences. Best of luck as you continue your work, and onward and upward to those next 60 years.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Ron Sisler, Dean of the College of Health Sciences, along with Ann Swartz, a professor and chair of the Department of Kinesiology in the college, our guests on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week back here at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.